Okay, first of all, I thank you for those of you that ask about Dalton. Some of you have asked kind of how to get hit with a baseball bat. Well, this girl was chasing him. No. They were at batting practice, and so here's a guy batting, and the guys are standing waiting for their turn, and the one guy, and he's done it all the way through, so it's no surprise. What he does when he comes around his swing, he carries it on around, completes the swing. Well, when he came back around like that, he hit Dalton in the jaw, and that's right when the bat's at its strongest point. And so I appreciate your prayers. It wasn't as, I'm going to say what it was bad, but it wasn't as bad. Well, first of all, Judith and I were just very thankful that he didn't get hit right in the head or right in the mouth with all the teeth and or in his eyes. And when they first were talking about it, they thought everything was fractured and all this. We're going to have to go and do a lot of repair work. But they got in and found out that they didn't have to do that. That all they had to do, I say all, was wire the whole jaw back into in its stable position, and then wire his mouth shut. And yeah.
Already there, so they just tied everything up
and hopefully it'll heal. And that's what our prayer is, that God will heal the structure of his jaw. And so thank you, and please continue to be in prayer for young Dalton. It's going to be pretty rough on him for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's going to be wired shut. Can you get any recipes for us?
They give the parents on these things, or the care people, a pair of wire cutter scissors in case he were to throw up, get sick, throw up, and have to go somewhere. So it can be cut, but the doctor said that is extremely rare that that ever happens. And so just be in prayer for this young boy. He's 13. I keep thinking he's older, but he's just 13. And but he's taller than I am. And I didn't say it a whole lot, but it's saying something when you're 13. And, we don't need to emphasize things. And
no weight to lose.
No weight. I got all the weight. He's got all the height. And but please be in prayer for Dalton and his family. Just that a lot of things happen. His body's gonna lose a lot of weight, and Dalton did not have much weight to lose anyway. And so we're gonna give him some minerals and protein and vitamins and different things like that. So just be in prayer for him. It's going to be pretty rough, 4 or 5 weeks with his mouth shut like that. And I told him, I said, well, for 4 or 5 weeks, you're going to have to live on milkshakes and malts. And he got a grin. And John Hintz called, and he said, well, you know, Herman, what spiritual love does, spiritual love identifies, so you just tell him that you'll live on the same thing he lives on. You'll live on malts and shakes for the next 6 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. And I said, yeah, right, you'll have to wheel me around. And but please be in prayer. let's see now. Jim, you're doing much better. And healing in progress and all. Ed Lacey's doing better. Please be in prayer. Continual prayer for him. John Hintz is, I talked to him today, and he's not teaching tonight. But it's very difficult. Well, he actually really can't even work at his computer right now, because all he can do is just the one hand. And so they've been in prayer for Hintz's continual recovery. And let's see, Scott, the roofer that came to church, a couple of Isaiah studies, and then also on a Sunday morning, his wife had a baby today. out yesterday, and a little over 7 pounds, and mom and the baby doing fine. And he said he's going to get on the internet and listen to Isaiah. And I pray that he does. So just be in prayer for Scott. God, the Holy Spirit will convict him of the importance of the study and understanding the Word of God. And continue being in prayer for Eve. She is in constant need of our prayers. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
About 2 weeks ago, we lost one of our longtime papers, Sylvia Dennis, Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes.
But we just need to pray for Bill, her husband.
Her husband, family. Yeah. Well, how old is Bill now?
I have to assume he's probably early 80s.
Early 80s, that's what I thought. Okay. In prayer for Bill. And this is the Holy Spirit to give him strength, courage, peace, and wisdom to move on. And I saw another hand for prayer. Yes, hon.
A longtime friend of ours, Hager, was in a really bad bicycle accident. He's been in ICU since Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, he broke his back, broke his jaw.
Oh, wow. Wow. What's the prognosis?
They won't know until he's out of here. Right now, they're just trying to stabilize him.
Okay. We'll be in prayer. We'll be in prayer for the family and him. My goodness, absolutely. Okay, any other prayer requests or anything? Okay, let's open the Word of God to Isaiah 53. And Chris, I've been trying to call you, but thank you for Sunday morning. That was just outstanding. Yeah, I got your message. I got it today. My internet is out, and our landline phone is out. And it's just got complicated and complicated. I called, or I couldn't understand the lady. So I figured, okay, it's just my difficult hearing. And I asked Judith, I'll stand there and answer all the questions, and if she'll talk with this lady. So Judith, I cannot understand you. And I went, all right. And so Judith said, where are you? And she's in the Philippines and going to handle my problem here in Plano. But so I just told him, I said, they had me scheduled for the 26th or 27th, the fixing. I said, I'll go somewhere else immediately because that is not going to work. And right now they have it scheduled in morning or noon. So we'll see. So if you want to get a hold of me, it's got to be on my cell phone, which is turned off right now. So don't try to call me right now. And yes.
Never said that.
And okay, let's get ready for Isaiah 53. We got a lot to do tonight. Just, I am overwhelmed with what the Holy Spirit's opening up in this study, so let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. In a time in our nation's history, there is no morality. There is no ethics. There are no ethics. They've taken you out of schools, education, judicial procedure, and therefore the society is suffering. But Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we can find a haven in your word. Our hope, our joy are not found in politics, but in our relationship with you, your Son, and your Spirit. And Father, I pray now your Spirit will give me the words to communicate the unbelievable message that is in just these few verses in Isaiah 53. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, now last week we ended with some powerful presentation of Jesus Christ on the cross with the words stricken, smitten, and afflicted. So let's just look at Isaiah 53:4. Surely, or truly, our griefs of sin, he himself bore, one of the first words there, our sorrows of sin, he carried. And you recall this word means to pick up and carry away from us. Yet we ourselves, the Jewish religious crowd, esteemed, that is, we thought, are concluded, esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. And what I tried to do here was just put this for something we can put a handle on it. And when you do this kind of thing, you lose a great deal of richness. But at the same time, we pick up some. Stricken, the idea here in the study of the Hebrew word, touched by God, his Father, in judgment. So it means touched and being struck in judgment. Smitten deals with the pain or the suffering of sin. And afflicted carries the basic idea of being humbled. Then we went on in verse 5 and saw there is still more to come in describing what Jesus went through on the cross, where we have four more verbs to further try to describe to us humans, even with the Holy Spirit, what happened on the cross. Let's look at verse 5. But he was, one, pierced through because of our transgressions. He was crushed, that's our second word, because of our iniquities. And the third word, chastening for our well-being, fell upon him. And by his four scourging, we are healed. Now, it's just impossible for me to relay all that's going on here. But it is so beautiful and powerful, and that's what my dilemma tonight is, to communicate this to you, what's happening in the Hebrew. Now, yes, I wish we had a lot more people, but for this kind of study, I'm very thankful for this group, because we are going to go through this where you'll understand it. Now, first of all, it says, he was pierced through. This is an intensive P-I-E-L stem in the Hebrew, and indicating, and the P-L indicates continual action to bring about a desired result. That's out of a grammar book. And so a continual action, continually being pierced for 3 hours in his soul to bring about a desired action. What was that desired result? And whose desire is being spoken of? So first of all, this is the desire of God the Father. Always remember, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the desire and the love of his Father. Always remember that. And again, the importance of verse 10 in our study, which we will come to. But verse 10, look down verse 10. But the Lord, God his Father, and therefore our Father, was pleased to crush him. God the Father was pleased to crush his own son. Why? This is the only payment that could be paid for our sins where they would be taken care of. So don't let anyone tell you that man must add something to the work of Christ on the cross. A good study of Isaiah 53 is going to knock out any kind of idea. You've got to be good. You've got to confess. You've got to repent. You've got to have a sacrament. You've got to do this. Anything added to faith in the work of Christ on the cross. Isaiah 53 just completely takes them away. Secondly, what is the desired result? All right, what is the desired result? I won't have you turn to it because I think you know it. John 3:16. In this manner, always remember the corrected translation of John 3:16. It doesn't say, for God so loved the world. In this manner, God so loved the world that he gave. That word to give, to be stricken, smitten, and afflicted, and pierced through. That's what he gave him to be done to him. His only begotten son, that is a servant of Isaiah 53, we know his name now. His name is Jesus. In order that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. That's why God the Father is pleased to crush his son on the cross, that we may have eternal life. In the understanding of why Jesus Christ was pierced through, let's add to John 3:16. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to add why God would be pleased to crush his son. You electric people, we're paper pushers. We're pushing our my paper right now. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, coming to conclusion, all these things just mentioned are from God, God the Father, who reconciled us to himself. Now, do you understand? Reconciled us to himself. Now, this is interesting. Let me tell you why. Usually, the person who commits the offense has to do something in order for there to be reconciliation. Just in a minor area. A husband hurts the wife. What does he do? If it's a minor deal, maybe roses. If it's a little more drastic, he adds candy to it. If it's really bad, he adds a new car or a diamond ring or fur coat or something, depending on the offense, to bring about reconciliation. The person that usually does the wrong has to do something to bring about the reconciliation. Not so here. But by the way, before I go on, that's why religion is so powerful. Because religion tells you what you have to do to get right with God. That's why religion is so powerfully important to a lot of people and so popular. And why they reject grace through faith. They reject it. No, I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. I got to do something so God will take care. And this is where we're reared with that. I'm sorry, Mom. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know, my mother got more out of it than anything. Clean room, clean yard, clean garage, all kinds of stuff. And we just, that's what happens with us. You do the wrong, you do something for reconciliation. But not with our God. In mercy and grace, God gave himself. God himself establishes the only way in which we, the offenders, will be reconciled to him. He sent his son, crushed him, stricken, smitten, afflicted, and pierced through. He gave Jesus Christ in order that we could be reconciled to him. All right, so it says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us. He reconciled us to himself through Christ, crosswork of Christ. And now God the Father gave to us, that's you and me, the ministry of reconciliation. People, this should be a joy for you, a privilege for you to tell others of all that happened on the cross. Why Jesus Christ? Why you Christians are so dead set it has to be Jesus Christ. Why is that? Isaiah 53. That explains why we are so adamant about Jesus Christ. Why do you Christians say that salvation comes only through and by Jesus Christ? Because of Isaiah 53. Now, continuing reading 2 Corinthians 5, let's go on to verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ, crushing him on the cross, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, but pouring the penalty of their trespasses on his servant, his son. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, we're not here to study the 2 Corinthians passage, but look at the end of verse 18, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 gave to us the word of reconciliation. Now verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, I grew up Southern Baptist, and the Baptist church, we had royal ambassadors for the boys and girls, girls auxiliary for the girls. We are ambassadors for Christ. And that was a big issue, and they had a little armband, and you worked your way through all the stuff, and you got different parts of it until finally you got the whole armband put together and all. But anyway, Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. People, who are you? You're not a Republican. You're not a Democrat. You're not a conservative. You're not liberal. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Times are tough in America. There's no such thing as ethics anymore. Freedom of speech is gone. Morality's over. Adultery, fornication, they're not considered wrong anymore. Kids do it. 13, 14 years old. On and on and on. And if you've been around as long as James Webb has been around, it gets very depressing. All the immorality and all the things, the way this country is now, is so depressing. Get your eyes off of the world. Get your eyes on Christ. Get your eyes on Isaiah 53 and who and what you are. You are an ambassador for Christ. You're not conservative. You're not a Republican. You're not a Democrat. You're an ambassador for Christ. That's who you are in your soul. And it puts at peace all the stuff going on in the world today. You realize what your only real issue is. So, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us to the world. And here is our message. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You don't do anything. He's already established the way to be reconciled to him. Just believe it by faith. And then in verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. There's your word, stricken, smitten, afflicted, and pierced through, crushed, made sin on our behalf. And this is why what is described in Isaiah 53 is so described, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And here again, people, very few people understand the real issue of the gospel. I'm sorry, it's amazing. I wonder, and I really do, and I mean this because I've listened to him now long enough. I wonder if Hal Lindsey understands it. He talks about being forgiven of sin, but I've never heard him say anything about receiving the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. That's the positive side of the gospel. The negative side is done. It's done deal. Unbelievers, the great white throne judgment. Sins will never be an issue. It's already taken care of. The issue is right there at the end of verse 21. Righteousness of God. How can I get that? Religion says work. You and I, with our message of reconciliation, just believe in Jesus Christ. Which is why, people, we're getting ready this Sunday to launch a study in the book of Colossians. Very important study. It's the most Christological book in the Bible. Christ-centered. And I hope that we just get so concentrating on Christ, we forget all about politics. That will no longer upset you. But your goal and objective is ambassador for Christ. All right, now let's go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. Now, this statement, the best way I know how to word this, is dear to us and humbling to us. It's dear to us that he was pierced through for our transgressions. It's humbling in that he had to be pierced through because of my transgressions. That's each and every one of us. So the best way I know how to say this, this is both dear and humbling to us. Now, what he's saying in this verse is, we esteemed that God had stricken, smitten, and afflicted him because of his sins. But now we understand that the real reason he was smitten and pierced was because of our sins. Now, we have seen all through this passage grammatical contrast. I don't want you to miss simple little things like this in just reading this for your own enjoyment. Verse 3, despised and forsaken of men, and right next to it in the Hebrew, a man. So you have the kind of men, man. All members of the human race, one man, contrasted with them. Then in verse 4 is the contrast of our and he. Human race, he. Now in verse 5, the writer has yet another contrast. The emphasis in verse 4 is we. In verse 5, it's he. So let's see if this makes sense to you. Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore. Our sorrows he carried. We ourselves esteemed him stricken. Now look at verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed, and the chastising for our well-being fell upon him. So verse 4 emphasizes we. Verse 5 emphasizes he. And in the Hebrew, it's very dramatic. The contrast jumps out at you. This should penetrate your soul. How wonderful is the idea, I in Christ and Christ in me. In John 17, the prayer, and in throughout the Gospel of John. I in Christ, Christ in you. You in Christ, Christ in you. All right, now, this phrase, he was pierced through his soul. His soul, not his body. Last week, Laura asked about, well, he had that sword, the Roman pierced through his side with the spear. They pierced his hands and feet with the nails. It's not that piercing that justifies us. It's not that piercing that took place. It's the piercing of his soul for 3 hours on the cross. He was pierced. So it was not the Romans, but God himself. Here we compare the spiritual death of Jesus Christ with the spiritual death of Adam and Eve last week. And we saw the various contrasts of them. Now let's move on. He was pierced through for. Now a more definitive translation of the Hebrew preposition is causal. Because. For his being pierced through because of our transgressions. Now the Hebrew word pesa, P-E-S-A, refers to a combination of acts. Starting with, now, people, I spend time, I read this word, or dictionary, read that lexicon, that lexicon, read this, and now I sit there, I just pray the Holy Spirit, give me what's going on here. So what I want to show you is, in three words, what's happening. One, with this word, pasa, transgressions. One, stop trusting God. That's the first thing you do. That's the first thing Adam and Eve did. That's the first thing we do. Stop trusting. Which leads to, point two, rebellion against God and his righteous codes by which we ought to live. So first of all, you stop trusting. Then you rebel against him. And then three, it leads to sins. The word transgressions opens up an interesting and a very deep and long study of words, which we're not going to have time to go through, in the Old Testament and New Testament, to describe what happens by rebellion against God. Just here in Isaiah 53:5, we have two such words, transgressions, iniquities. Now, in 1800s, 1836 to 1923, Robert Baker Girdlestone, Girdlestone, and again his dates, 1836 to 1923, so he lived a long time. He was an Anglican cleric who ministered at St. John's Downhill, Downshire, in England. He studied at Charleston House in London, Christ Church at Oxford, and he was the first principal of the Wycliffe Hall, Oxford. He was a Hebrew scholar and head of the translation department of the British and the origin of the Foreign Bible Society of England. So that's his credentials. He is best known for his reference work, Synonyms of the Old Testament. Now, I know because I've been where you are. It is difficult speaker read something, and you're supposed to get something out of it. I ought to have it on a handout or have it up here on the wall. But let me just read to you what he writes in just dealing with the section dealing with all the words for sins. Okay. I'm not going to read all of it. Just pick it out a little bit of the opening paragraph. The pictorial power of the picture. Remember, Hebrew is picturesque. It's not Greek is abstract. Greek, you can talk about propitiation, redemption, all these words, abstract. Not in Hebrew. It's got to be concrete. You've got to see that lamb's throat slit open, blood gushing out. And then every time he takes a breath, the blood gushing out. That's Hebrew. So it's Hebrew is a picturesque language. So that's what he's saying. The pictorial power of the Hebrew language is seldom exhibited more clearly than in connection with the various aspects of evil. Every word is a piece of philosophy. Nay, it's a revelation, and I love that. And that's what I've tried to extract from these words. A revelation. What's it revealing to us? Even when man knows the will of God, there is something in his nature, we know that is the inherited sin nature, which prompts him to rebel against it. Now, let's look at the revelation of this word in Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced through because of our transgressions. Now, the Hebrew word is pasah, and what we learn, or what is revealed to us, and this I got from Girdlestone, Synonyms of the Old Testament. This word signifies to revolt or refuse subjection to rightful authority. To revolt, when you see the word transgression, it means to revolt or refuse subjection to rightful authority. The transgression. It is more often translated transgressions or even rebellion in some Bibles against God. So, what we learn about man here is that what we learn about ourselves is that we choose not to submit to his authority. And people, please understand, every time we sin, mental attitude sin, jealousy, anger, pride, whatever it is, at that point, you've done just this. I reject your authority. Now, if we sat and went through all that, I don't think we'd do it so often, but I hope you understand what is being done. This describes every one of us. This describes us. So, what we do, we reject, we refuse to submit to his authority and do as we please. Ha! Do as our flesh nature pleases. Next, he was crushed because of our iniquities. The Hebrew word translated iniquities is on, A-W-O-N, con. Now, I had to go outside of Girdlestone for a sharp revelation, revealing of this word. And the best that I found was the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament by Harris, Archer, and Walkie. Walkie was the head of the Hebrew department at seminary, down the seminary when I was there, where this word is covered in five columns in a very small print, about three or four pages. Three pages. Five columns of work on this one word. So trying to narrow it down was quite a challenge in my prayers. Okay. The basic meaning of this word, it means to bend, to twist, to distort, to make crooked, to pervert. It's from this word that we find that on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the penalty of guilt of all perversions, homosexuality, lesbianism, on the cross. He paid for it. That's what this word tells us. This word means just that. It means to bend, to twist, to distort, to make crooked, to pervert. God's word, God's ordinance. So, but on the cross, Jesus Christ paid for every one of our distortions, every one of our perversions, every one of our justifications for our sins. Jesus Christ was crushed for such twisting and perversion of his design. The Hebrew idea of being crushed is exactly that. There's nothing fancy to be done in the word study. His soul was crushed for the payment of our sins, for the payment of our perversion of his plan. Another beautiful and graceful observation with this word iniquities is that this word throughout the word of God is often associated with forgiveness. I love that when it's associated with different things, associated with redemption or forgiveness. Look at Job 33. Job 33, verse 27. We're going to read 27 and 28. 27. He will sing to men and say, I have sinned and perverted what is right. That's our word. And here it's translated just that, perverted what is right. And it is not proper for me. But there's hope. Verse 28. He has redeemed my soul from going to the pit, and my life shall see the light. How did he do that? He was stricken, smitten, afflicted, pierced through, that he might redeem us from all of this. So people, please remember, this goes back to Job, the first book given to us in the Bible. Job understood sins and iniquities, perversions, and yet he understood the redemption work of the coming Messiah, the Savior on the cross. He understood the Redeemer provides forgiveness and redemption. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah 53 now. Isaiah 53:5, he was pierced through because of our transgressions. With the basic ideal of sin as refusing to submit to his authority, rebel against God. And people, again, I just want to remind you, every time you and I sin, the first thing we do is stop trusting him. I don't trust you on this. I want to take that out. I want to let these people know what I think of them on the highway. I want to let this person know this. I want to do that. That's what we do. The first thing we do, I don't trust you to handle this. I want to handle it, so I'm going to judge these people. I'm going to judge this person because you're really not going to handle this the way I can. You're not going to let everybody know in a Facebook what I know, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to put this out on Facebook because I happen to know people read the Facebook more than they do the book, so I'm going to put it out on Facebook, see? First thing we do is stop trusting him. You're not God enough to take care of this. I'm going to take care of it. You're not God enough to take care of my needs, my wants, my desires. I'll have to take care of it. This is what we all do when we sin. Now, in the next phrase of verse 5, we come to yet another verb describing what Jesus Christ experienced on the cross, and a second word on revelation of sin. Against God, he was crushed because of our iniquities. The revelation here is that we twist, distort, pervert what God says and designed. We have looked at the verb pierced through. Now let's look at the verb crushed. We have seen the hophal last week, H-O-P-H-A-L, and we've seen the P-L. Well, this time we have still another stem in Hebrew, the pu'al, P-U-A-L. Now this study in Hebrew is absolutely exciting. And there's just no way I can get you to appreciate what happens when I'm sitting at my desk and I see all these different things. But I want to try to help you to do that. So, Jerry, can you hand these out for me to everyone? Now, what you're getting ready to get from Jerry, I was working on this and I got to thinking, you know, I don't have 1,000, 100, even 50 people here. Those that come want to know the Word of God. And I want them to appreciate the power and the depth of what we're studying here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to give you some things that will help you. And what I've done at the end of this, as you will see, is that I've given you what to do with all this information. So first of all, we're going to look at it, pardon the expression, academically. Now, but let's go through it. So verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Not only do we have the drama of the different Hebrew words for sin, but the verbal structure is absolutely breathtaking. And I can't expect you to appreciate that. But I want to give you a feel of it. So in verse 4, the cow perfect. Verse 4, the cow. And the cow stem is your basic stem in Hebrew. And you have a cow participle. Then you have in verse 4, the hafel participle. Verse 4, the puel participle. Verse 5, the pl participle. Verse 5, the puel participle. Aren't you excited? I mean, look at all these different stems. It is one verse. This is just powerful stuff. Yay, yay. This is powerful stuff. Okay. Now. Now. The Holy Spirit uses four participles. Note that. Fundamentally, the action described by a Hebrew participle denotes continuative action, going on. And the participle is like an adjective describing attributive quality. This was going on for 3 hours. This is why God darkened the area of the cross. This is not for the world to see. This is not even for angels to see. And I just want to try to communicate to you a little bit of what's going on. Note in these two verses, we have four different Hebrew verb stems used. The kal stem, the hafel stem, the puel, and the pl. Now, so big deal. Okay, I want to help you. What happens when you see a hafel stem? There are over 20 stems in the Hebrew. I loved Hebrew. I love learning Hebrew. I think it was because I took it in the summer. I had nothing else to go on, nothing else to do. Class was 4 hours, and then 4 hours, 5 hours studying for each class. It was just, I loved it. And it just boomed right there. So let's take a look. The hafel. Okay, what does that do? It combines with this stem, combines with another stem to add a richer picture of what's going on when this stem is used as a verb. It is combined with the hifil, and the hifil is causative, but adding to that a passive idea. So let's look at the cross. He was smitten. The passive tells us he allowed himself to be smitten. The hafel tells us the verb is intensified and causative. He caused himself to be smitten by volunteering himself to take our place. That's your Savior. Now, let me just jump ahead. Let me show you something. Go over, if you will, to page 4. I'm going to show you something, what I'm going to do for you here. What I want to do, and what I'm going to do, what are we going to do with all this information I'm giving you? Well, what I'm going to do here at the end tonight is I'm going to show you how we're going to take it and use it to present where the Dags can communicate this to kids without ever using these words. But because they know, they'll be able to communicate this richness, and that's what I'm going to show you in closing tonight. But I want to show you where it comes from. So let's go back now to page 2, and we have the hafel. And the hafel, you recall down at the bottom of the paragraph, the hafel tells us the verb is intensified and causative. He caused himself to be smitten by volunteering himself to take our place on the cross. The puel stem. This adds to the PL stem, which is intensive in itself, passive force. The PUEL stresses an accomplished state or accomplished objective. These are out of grammar books. So, he was afflicted, accomplished the objective of God, of the work of the cross for the payment of our sins. So this is what it's saying is, he was caused to go there and accomplish the fact of taking care of our sins. Again, the passive, says, going to page 3 now, the passive stresses that Jesus Christ received being afflicted on the cross by his own volition to take this affliction that belongs to us and bear it himself. We come to the PL stem. More common than the Hafel, but the PL stem, like the Puel, this stem stresses an accomplished objective, but adds an intensive stress to the action of the verb. And that's why I said it's impossible for me to really convey this unless you just allow yourself to see it even in English, that it's intense. Those 3 hours, think about it. The sins of the whole world, all the perversions, all the nice little sins that we all middle-class white people commit, all those horrible sins that those other horrible people commit, all these sins poured out on him. Right?
Non-Texan,
yes. This is what he did for us on the cross. So the PL, this verb also includes the ideal of cause. God was caused to pierce Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ was caused to receive being pierced by bearing the judgment for our sins. The PL reveals the intention or desire of the result. That is why we looked at John 3:16 and the 2 Corinthians passage. Now, let's apply this to Jesus. What was his attitude toward being pierced through for our sins? We saw from Isaiah 53:10 that God the Father was pleased to crush him. But what about Jesus Christ? What was his attitude? 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we see that Jesus Christ gave thanks for the piercing of his soul for our sin, for our payment of our sins, for our transgressions, for our rebellion, for our perversions of the plan of the Father. Now we read through all this richness, we learn from Hebrew, and here's what I want to end with this tonight. We read through all this richness that I've just gone through. Learn from the Hebrew. How can we put this richness into common words to communicate to others we witness to? The Dags and the people who work with our young people. You in dealing with people at work. A stranger at Walmart. A stranger on a plane. The store. How can I take all this really good stuff and communicate it? I can't sit down and go through all this with them. They'll think I was some kind of nut. How can I do that? How can we show that it is blasphemous to try to add any works whatsoever to the works of Christ on the cross? While we cannot add mental works like repentance, or verbal like confession, or overt, any list of dues that denominational religions have to the works of Christ on the cross. Because people always want to add to it. You don't need to come down on them. What you want to do is, first of all, you present them with a simple, ageless gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. No works there. Then, to press the point, there is nothing they can add. They're really sold on adding. Don't run them down. Don't tell them they're wrong. Just say, let's see about what we're adding to here. Let's see if this is going to work. So to press the point, there is nothing that you can add to the work of Christ on the cross. You take them to Isaiah 53:4. Let's see how this flows for you. Surely, our griefs, the griefs that come from our sins, that belongs to us, grief that belongs to us, he, Jesus Christ, himself bore. We don't have to bear anything. You don't pay for your sins. He bore it. He himself. And our sorrows, the sorrows of sin that also belong to us. He picked up and carried away, with the result we never have to bear the griefs and sorrows of our sins. First you present them with an ageless gospel. Then you pass on to the point there is nothing they can do to add to the work of Christ on the cross. Take them to Isaiah 53:4. Now you continue. Yet we ourselves esteemed him. That is, explaining it to them, we concluded that these things happened to him because he deserved them. That's the way the Jews, the religious Jews, thought. Stricken. He received being, there you are, that's the way we're going to translate the verb. He received being touched by God, his Father, in judgment for our sins. Smitten. Pain. The suffering of sin. And here, without going into the Hebrew, we simply express three ideas of the Hebrew. Causative. He was caused to be smitten because he voluntarily went to the cross for all mankind, including the very person you're speaking with. He went for you. Add to this, smitten was to satisfy the desired plan of God the Father for the payment of sins, which we could not do because we are born spiritually dead. Nothing they can do. Anything they want to do to add to the works, it's unrighteousness. And then afflicted stresses that he was humbled on the cross. You think you can add to that? You want to add to his being stricken, smitten, afflicted on the cross? And the word analysis shows that this is an accomplished act on the cross. There is nothing that can be added. The payment for sins, tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. Won't you just receive it by faith? Won't you just accept it by faith? Then you continue reading in verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, not on us. And by his scourging, we are healed. So we take a look at it. He was pierced through. That is, his soul was pierced through. And again, this was to accomplish what was necessary for the payment of sins. Not making ourselves better by some works, but pierced through his soul to accomplish what God the Father demanded for the payment of sins. Do you really want to try to add to that? Do you really want to try to add to Christ being pierced through his soul for the payment of sins? Won't you just accept it by faith? And then the next phrase shows why he was pierced through. Because of our transgressions. This word signifies to revolt, refuse to subject it to the rightful authority. It was more often translated transgressions or rebellion against God. Sometimes something that we do every time we sin. And on the cross, Jesus Christ paid for all these verbs, for all the past, present, and future sins that will ever be committed. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the cross amazing? Just stay there. Don't go beyond it. He was crushed. His soul was crushed for our iniquities. You explain, this is yet another word for sins. The basic meaning of this word, to bend, to twist, to distort, to make crooked, to pervert. It is from this word that we find that on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the penalty of guilt, of perversion, of all kinds of perversions. He was crushed for such twisting perversion of his design. Now you have to make up your own mind. Is Christ sufficient for all your needs? Or do you have to have other things to add to it? You got to do other things. If you read through this, isn't that sufficient? Isn't that sufficient for you? Is the Word of God sufficient for you? Sufficient to bring you to Jesus Christ. Sufficient to bring you to God the Father. Sufficient for your salvation. Why would you want to add any of your works to what he did on the cross? Just think about what happened on the cross. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted. See him dying on the tree? 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he to see. And this sets us ready for the study in Colossians Sunday morning. Any questions? Let's close in a word of prayer. I really do. I hope this helped. And I hope that what I did at the end there, what all that technical stuff, that's just too technical. I'm glad you know it. I'm glad that's all, but it's too technical for me. Well, I hope now you take that technical stuff and simplify it in your own words. Go back and look at the technical words and simplify it in your own words and to apply it different witnessing situations. Different people, you'll use different words, different emphasis. It's who we are. We're ambassadors for Christ, people. There's no set way of witnessing. There's no set formula for witnessing. God the Holy Spirit will tell you what that soul needs, what you have in your soul to communicate to them, and how to communicate it. And now you know. Closing prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We're sorry that we don't know the Hebrew. We're sorry it's not our mother language. But we don't need it. We have your Holy Spirit to open our eyes on how to tell others what happened on the cross. Go to passages such as Isaiah 53 and share with them the wonders of the cross work. Well, I pray you take the things we've seen tonight rather quickly. Let them settle in our souls. Take this handout paper that James did for us. Just go over it and over it. Yes. Every time we read it, we see more and more. And then apply it in telling others of Jesus Christ. Telling a child. Telling an adult. Telling an old person dying on his bed. About why Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Father, I pray that your Spirit can do these things with this. Pray this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.